Southeast Road Builders will soon have a new owner. And a Hanes tour company gets the okay to expand river raft tours. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Construction company Southeast Road Builders will soon be under new ownership. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur reports on the sale of the long-standing local business.
Southeast Road Builders has paved the way for Southeast Alaskans for more than four decades. Now, Roger Schnabel has decided to sell his civil contracting company, which has built roads and bridges from Prince of Wales Island to the Haines Highway. Why sell the company now? Southeast Road Builders Chief Financial Officer Brenda Josephson said French multinational construction company, the Colas Group, approached Schnabel late last year.
He just turned 63 years old. He said he didn't have an exit plan, and when they approached him, he thought it was a good opportunity.
The Colas Group owns clusters of construction businesses across the world. Southeast Road Builders will become part of Colaska, their Alaskan subsidiary. It includes seven other Alaskan construction companies that build roads, make asphalt, and sell materials across the state.
One of their subsidiaries is SECON, and SECON's a competitor of Southeast Road Builders.
SECON won the bid for the Haines Highway project. Since Southeast Road Builders is a subcontractor on the road, Josephson says the two companies had already planned to work closely together this summer. The Haines Highway project is expected to take 6 to 8 years. The 1943 highway is Haines' only land link to the road system. According to the Department of Transportation, the state is expected to spend about $100 million to straighten and widen the road, making it appropriate for a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. Colaska will be able to use Southeast Road Builders assets to work on the project. The deal includes the company, equipment, a gravel pit, and other property, including Roger Schnabel's house at 4.5 Mile. Despite new owners, Josephson says Southeast Road Builders will remain mostly the same. They expect their company to keep its name and their employees to stay on. Josephson says she sees the sale as a very positive development.
Roger, he was getting to the point of retiring, and this way the company's going to be able to continue.
Josephson declined to say how much the Colas Group offered for the company. In the last 10 years, public data shows Southeast Road Builders have worked on more than 61 government contracts worth over $80 million. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
A Haines tour company got the go-ahead to expand the capacity of river rafting trips in the Chilkat Valley this week. The assembly supported Rainbow Glacier Adventure's tour permit renewal. It includes increasing the number of guests allowed on rafting trips. The expansion comes as RGA owner Joe Ordonez is contracting with UnCruise, a small-scale cruise line. Ordonez says his company's goals make it the right fit to work with UnCruise. But to fulfill the contract, Ordonez wants to expand from his current permit for 14 people per raft trip to 44. Residents and representatives from other local tour companies have raised concerns about crowding at put-ins and takeouts along the river, worries about environmental damage, including salmon populations, and impact on local use were also raised. Stephen Ock spoke on behalf of Alaska Mountain Guides and Chilkat Guides at the assembly meeting.
All operators currently on the river in the Haynesboro permits require the maximum number of tours per day, maximum daily use, and number of uses per week. This includes River Adventures, Haines Rafting, Alaska Mountain Guides, and Chilkat Guides. The Rainbow Glacier Adventures application does not include this information.
Ordonez says after hearing concerns, he won't use the popular 14-mile pullout. The assembly amended his application as requested. It specifies RGA is permitted for two tours of a maximum of 44 people per day at an average of 2 days per week, based on the UnCruise schedule. Chilkat Indian Village President Kimberly Strong asked the assembly to delay a decision on the permit. In a written letter, she asked Klukwan be brought into the decision-making process. The village sits on the banks of the Chilkat River, about 22 miles north of Haines. Strong expressed concerns about rafting getting out of control if permits continued to be approved without their input. Assemblymember Heather Lendy addressed Strong's letter at Tuesday's meeting.
This wasn't the permit to look at capacity on, because if we denied Joe the permit, it would simply be picked up by another provider that already has that capacity. So we wouldn't be changing anything. It would be just to prove the point. I did tell her that I would certainly want to include the village in any further discussions that we might have related to what we talked about at the COW, about talking about capacity, talking about put-ins, talking about impacts.
Strong couldn't be reached for comment by the time this story was reported. Others, including Haines' former tourism director, have supported the increased capacity. Leslie Ross sent the assembly a letter of support for the expansion. She expressed concern that if RGA were denied, the uncruised contract would just go to another company that already has a larger tour capacity. The assembly voted unanimously in favor of Ordonez's request. It also includes a new private tour to Crucial Wildlife Center. There will be a lot less fishing for king salmon in Southeast in the coming season. After the Alaska Board of Fisheries took dramatic steps to protect dwindling Chinook returns to the region's major river systems. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The big hit for commercial trawlers is ending the winter season a full 6 weeks early on March 15th. It's hard to state the economic impact on trawlers, each one a small, often family-owned business, on losing a prime opportunity to harvest a bedrock species that is currently earning them close to $13 a pound. But we'll come back to that. The action plan adopted by the Board of Fish, known formerly as RC-422, includes language that the steep conservation measures spelled out for the coming year for the Chilkat, Unic, and King Salmon rivers, where king salmon stocks have fallen precipitously, should also apply to the Taku, Stikine, and Setuk rivers, which are not yet considered stocks of concern. Just the opening paragraph of the action plan, the preamble, touched off a flurry of accusations that the Department of Fish and Game was going too far. Board member Robert Ruffner initially thought the preamble was a bad idea, but became convinced that the Taku, Stikine, and Setuk were not headed in the right direction.
We could have an action plan here today that said, none of you get to go fishing at all for anything, and we're still going to wind up not meeting escapement goals.
The board also took some heat for including some language in the preamble about the Pacific Salmon Treaty, which many fishermen consider an unrelated issue to the current conservation crisis. It's a really complicated agreement, but that's precisely why Deputy Commissioner of Fish and Game Charlie Swanton thought it was important to incorporate it into the action plan.
34 salmon stocks, and Chinook salmon stocks in Southeast Alaska, a handful that are recognized as part of the treaty, and, you know, several that were in stock of concern status.
So the action plan is really a manual for the state to implement significant fishing restrictions on the stocks of concern and to take whatever other steps may be necessary by emergency order to pump the brakes on catching kings headed for other rivers. It's a huge worry for commercial trawlers.
I think staying in business is still a question mark.
Jeff Farver began his career as a deckhand in Sitka. He's worked his way up through a wooden trawler to a larger fiberglass boat, which he picked up on the very day last season when Fish and Game announced that there would be no second king opener in the summer. The action plan will be a bitter pill.
I'm confident it will help us avoid the Southeast wild stocks we're trying to avoid. I think it's a good plan in that respect. But as far as the financial end of it, it's yet to be seen, because we're a year-round king salmon fishery with some coho opportunity and chum fishery in the summer, and it's really that king salmon that makes it happen for Southeast.
Farber and his fellow trollers want the king salmon fishery to recover, but it's going to take a while. Salmon trolling remains one of Alaska's few limited-entry fisheries where young people can buy in on savings rather than taking out huge loans, and Farber's concerned about them. Troller Tad Fujioka also sees an economic problem in the action plan. Losing 6 weeks of spring trolling means a loss of 20% to 30% of their income for some fishermen. But residents of coastal waters, like Sitka, can still pull together a decent season fishing out on the ocean on tolerable winter days and during the brief summer opener. Elsewhere, it's going to be difficult to make it, especially when the action plan closes down fishing completely in places like the Upper Lynn Canal, Beam and Seymour Canals, prime territory for trolling on protected inside waters. Fujioka feels those trollers are bearing a disproportionate share of the conservation burden.
I'm particularly concerned about the effect this is going to have on the smaller communities of Cake, Angoon, Huna.
But Fujioka, like Farver, recognizes that it's critical to allow as many wild kings to return to Southeast rivers as possible. It's unfortunate that the biology of the stocks made it such that it had to be this way, he said. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.